All right, chapter 72, the mountain rumble. Rico 2 stood at the mouth of the cave. Razum, unit 7134, are you in here? The only response was his own flat voice echoing back. But he sensed movement somewhere down the tunnel. So he switched on the headlights, raised his rifle, and marched inside. The Rico marched past animal bones and rock piles and wide cracks in the wall. His blocky head swiveled from side to side, scanning for any sign of Roz. But she was nowhere to be found. So he turned and marched back towards daylight. Then a deafening roar filled the cave. From the shadows flew a giant body. Mother Bear charged into the robot and smashed him against the wall. Then Nettle and Thorn jumped in, and together the family went to work. They rammed his legs. They slashed his chest. They muscled him to the ground. On his way down, Rico squeezed the trigger. There was a flash of blazing light, and the walls began to crumble. Nettle grabbed her brother by the scruff and pulled him outside as the avalanche of rock thundered behind them. Mother Bear howled. The rifle exploded. Stones clanged against Rico too. The avalanche slowed and settled as the cloud of dust billowed out from the cave. Mother, Nettle appeared in the darkness. I'm here, said a weak voice. The young bears dashed inside and found Mother half buried. They pulled heavy stones from her body and dusted her off. I have broken bones, she rasped. But they will heal. Where is the robot? Rico 2's headlight switched back on. Stones tumbled as the robot staggered to his feet. His body was scratched and scraped. His head was badly dented. His left arm was completely useless. So, thwip, it was tossed aside. Then the one-armed robot limped out of the cave and continued to hunt for Roz. Don't worry about me, Mother Bear growled to Nettle and Thorn. Kill the robot. With his heavy limp and grinding gears, Rico 2 was easy to track. The young bears caught up with him as he entered into the grove of trees. But they didn't attack, not yet. There was a better place to finish him off, up ahead. So they hung back and followed him across the mountainside. The distant rumble of the waterfall grew louder with each passing minute. Then a slash of white appeared through the trees. Soon the robot was standing beside the rolling, frothing river just above the falls. He was too badly damaged to leap over the falls, or to wade through the rapids, or to climb down the cliffs, but he had to continue his hunt for his target. So he started to limp upriver in search of a safer crossing. There was rustling, and the young bears exploded out of the trees. They threw their heavy shoulders against the robot's body, and he stumbled sideways into the riverbank. Nettle reared up and wrestled the robot, twisting and shaking him with all her strength. Rico, too, felt his feet slipping on the rocks, and he felt his body tipping over. Then he plunged into the white water, and he brought Nettle with him. The current immediately swept Nettle towards the falls. She rolled through the rapids, crashed into a rock, and then desperately clambered onto another. Rico, too, stood up straight, and the river rushed around him. He took a step, slipped, and disappeared beneath the water. But then he was up again. Thorn ran to help his sister, but was pointing upriver and roaring, "Use the logs!" Then the young bear turned around and he saw what she meant. A jumble of broken logs were wedged between the rocks and the rapids, and a moment later, Thorn was on top of them. With water sloshing over his back, he forced a paw between the logs and pried the top one loose. It splashed into the river and wound its way down through the rapids, only to roll harmlessly past the robot. Then it dropped out of sight. The bear tried again. He popped another log off into the river. This one spun at just the right time to ram its full weight into the robot's chest. Rico 2 went sailing backwards and sank beneath the surface. But he reappeared. The river was full of heavy wooden torpedoes. One log pounded the robot's shoulder. Another slammed his face. More logs knocked him closer and closer to the falls. The current became too much for the injured robot, and it carried him away. He grasped for anything solid he could cling to, but the rocks were too slippery, so he settled for a fistful of fur. Nettle had been hanging on the rock this whole time, but now the robot was pulling her. She started losing her grip. She couldn't hang on much longer. Finally, she cried out, "I'm sorry, Thorn," and she let go. Nettle and Rico, too, surged towards the rumbling falls. The bear felt the robot's release his grip. She watched him glide over the edge. Then she closed her eyes and waited for the end to come. But this was not Nettle's time. Reader, what happened next is hard to believe. You see, the river didn't fall away beneath Nettle. It tightened around her. Hundreds of fish surrounded the bear. They pressed their faces into her fur. They thrashed their tails against the current, and they slowly pushed her away from the edge. Further and further they went, gradually moving upriver, until Nettle's brother pulled her from the water. The bears collapsed onto the river bank, and they looked down and saw hundreds of fish looking back. "Thank you," roared Nettle. "I'll never eat fish again." The fish smiled and sank into the rapids. "I thought you were dead," said Thorn, breathing hard. "So did I," Nettle laughed. "Looks like you're stuck with me for a while longer, little brother." "I'm not little." It felt good to joke, but the bears quickly turned serious. They were both bruised and bleeding. Their mother was in far worse condition. However, it would be all worthwhile if Rico, too, had finally been killed. The bears crept to the edge of the cliff, and there at the bottom of the waterfalls, strewn across wet rocks, was the shattered body of a dead robot. Chapter 73. Rico 1 was standing in the great meadow. He stared up at the smoking hill of ash and then down at the stampede of footprints around him. There had been a large bonfire with hundreds of animals and one robot. But why? When Rico couldn't make sense of what he was seeing. After thoroughly exploring the site, he continued through the meadow and into the forest. It was around that time that he lost communication with Rico 3 and Rico 2, and he knew that his partners had both been destroyed. Rico 1 would have to hunt down the target by himself. The hunter marched on, his blocky head swiveled from side to side, scanning for any sign of Roz. He was soon gazing across the glassy surface of the beaver pond. On the far side, there was a thread of smoke drifted up from another one of those wooden domes. With his powerful legs, the robot launched himself up through the air, soaring in a high, graceful arc over the pond and down onto the other side. His feet slammed into the ground, leaving deep craters in the garden by the dome. He hunched over and looked inside. Fur and feathers and dying coals of fire. The target wasn't in there. Rico stood perfectly still and watched as the soft rain started dripping down through the tiers of the forest. Then he sensed it. Up in the canopy was something that didn't belong. Roz had been spotted. The hunter watched his target drop from branch to branch down to the forest floor. She bounded away through the thickly tangled underbrush, and without stirring a leaf, she snapped a twig and vanished into the green. However, Rico 1 had other means of tracking her. He could sense her electronic signal. The signal was gliding around the edge of the pond, but was fading fast. A few more seconds and it would lose it entirely. Rico 1 burst into a sprint. The forest seemed to sway from and quake from his stomping strides, and a minute later the forest really didn't begin to move. The trees were toppling down onto Rico. He fired his rifle. Two tumbling trees turned to ash, and then third swung down through the smoke and hammered his body to the ground. Rico 1 shoved a tree aside, pulled himself up, and continued the hunt. He didn't notice the beavers diving back into the pond. Rico 1 tore through brambles and leaped through boulders, and suddenly the ground was caving beneath him. Down he fell into a deep pit, crashing against the bottom and twisting his leg. The robot violently pounded his leg back into shape and launched himself out of the pit. He didn't notice the groundhogs watching from their tunnels. The hunter faced one trap after another. He was pelted with flaming pine cones, tripped on taut vines, and crunched by tumbling rocks. The hunter now limped and rattled. He was covered in scars, but he kept going. Roz galloped back and forth across the island again and again. She tried to lose Rico One. But no matter how fast she ran, how well she hid, how many animals helped, she couldn't escape the sound hunter's stomping footprints. She had never run so hard for that long, and while her mechanical body was holding up, her wooden foot was not. After hours of relentless pounding, it finally gave out, and she galloped through the rocky forest by the sea cliffs where her foot was splintered. As soon as Rico One found the fresh wooden splinters, he knew that his target was in trouble. He stomped out of from the trees onto the cliff top and scanned the coastline below. Geese were flying down through the drizzle. Otters were wriggling over the rocks. Seaweed and driftwood and broken robot parts were scattered about the shore. But the hunter also sensed a faint electronic signal. Roz was down there somewhere. The hunter's blocky hand clamped onto the cliff top and then it detached. The hand was connected to a strong cable that spooled down from the length of his arm. He gave the cable two tugs and stepped off the ledge. Rico One zipped down the cliffside, one arm releasing the cable and the other clutching his rifle. He slowly came to a gentle stop and reached the ground. Then, high above the robot's hand, unclamped and followed the cable all the way up until, whip, it snapped right back into his left end of his arm. Geese squawked and otters squeaked as Rico One marched through the robot graveside. The place was littered with torsos and limbs and heads. They were all valuable parts, but he would collect them later. For now, his only concern was finding Roz. He followed his electronic signal over a clump of seaweed. Where was his target? Was Rico One's sensors malfunctioning? The robot tapped his head a few times, but the mysterious signal remained. He looked around for any signs of her, and as he did, a clump of seaweed reached up and grabbed his rifle.